car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Well, hello once again. It is Boomer Tech Radio. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news you can use. I am Bob Belongi.
And I am Brenda Belongi.
Oh, analog living in a digital world. Welcome. And we want to thank Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Coming to you from the extremely smoke-weary city of Reading. Oh, my goodness.
Nasty air quality today.
Now, we just got done, for those of you, I'm repeating the obvious for those of you who live here, but we have listeners in far-flung places. Most of you have heard about our tragic wildfires in which lives were lost. A lot of property was lost. A lot of lives changed forever in a single day. The car fire, which lingered, is still burning 6 weeks after its start. And for a while, the air here in Reading was pretty bad. And then it cleared up for like a week.
4 days.
Yeah, 4 days. Then another fire starts. And that was the sound
so
of it.
Another fire started. The Hearst fire started.
Yep, and that dumped a bunch of smoke on us.
Northeast of town, or north-northeast of town. And then another fire started, which is now burned into the Hearst fire perimeter and will probably come south far enough to hit the car fire perimeter, maybe not, and is burning west to go over to Trinity Lake. It will make it to Trinity Lake, probably.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. And the weather is not helping.
So... And Brenda can explain what happens, but at different times of the day, the smoke just falls down on top of us, and you can't breathe. Especially for people with asthma, elderly, kids. It
stay
is
inside.
bad stuff. Now you can help. You can monitor. Keep track of what's going on, because there's different kinds of smoke. There's the big particle stuff, like what you get out of a diesel, which is like PM10. Those are 10 micron particles.
Right.
Those you can cough right back out.
Well, sort of.
Usually.
You can get usually cough them out, yes.
Yeah. But the bad ones are what are called 2.5.
PM2.5s, yes.
Those are so small that they get into your lungs, they get trapped in the air sacs, and it takes a while to get rid of them, if at all.
Yeah, you may never get rid of them.
And
it affects people differently. I know firefighters that have been in smoke their entire career and have absolutely no problems. And I know another one firefighter in particular that I'm thinking of, it affected her so badly that she can't work out on the line. She has to have another job. She works in a dispatch center indoors. She cannot be out in the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So it's but the levels that we've been having are pretty much unhealthy for everyone.
Yeah. So traditionally, Brenda, how has the smoke been measured? I mean, you look at it and say, yeah, it's smoky, but if you want a scientific number,
right,
requires sensors, and
right,
up until recently, those were pretty darn expensive,
well,
and high-maintenance propositions.
Absolutely, they're expensive. And then they had filters in them that would clog up if you get smoke, like we have very dense smoke for any period of time, so they become high-maintenance devices and may not be reporting correctly, but... As always, technology to the rescue and changes things dramatically.
Yeah, if you type into your browser Shasta County Air Quality Management District, you'll actually land on a page, and if you read the page carefully, at the bottom there's a link to something called Purple Air. Now you can go to purpleair.com, and this is a private company that is selling to anybody these air quality monitors, and they're relatively inexpensive. They're about $250, if I remember the mm-hmm. pricing correctly.
Way cheaper than an email.
Much cheaper than any piece of government equipment. Now, these are not what you would call scientifically accurate. However, when you put a – and this is the whole thing about environmental monitoring via Internet of Things, is you put out a whole bunch of low-cost sensors over a wide area, and even if they are like 5% give or take accuracy, which is unacceptable for scientific experiments, you put a whole cluster of these things out there, and they're all plus or minus 5%, you're going to get a real good picture of a broad area of what's happening in the environment.
Exactly.
And that's what's going on with these sensors around town.
And purple air is a reference to really bad air quality.
Right.
There are color scales that they use in air quality products, and purple is bad. So that's where the purple air reference comes to. It's a kind of an industry-established a poor air quality
right.
So, designation.
As a matter of fact, I pulled up the Purple Air site just now. There were only two sensors in Reading, before the car fire. Now several schools have installed these things, and what's neat is rather than having to have dedicated telemetry, you know, a special wireless link, or somebody, God forbid, has to go out and read the thing once a day, like the rain gauge there. The old rain gauge there at work for you. These connect to the Internet of Things and upload their data every 80 seconds to a server, and then you can look at a map and overlay the sensor locations on the map, and bada boom, you've got a broad picture of what's going on.
You don't have to overlay the sensors. It's already automatically on the map.
When we were on our way into work earlier today,
this is like Wonderground has
exactly.
Weather
it's the same
stations.
Concept.
It's the same concept. If you share that data on the web, then it'll go in and plot it.
So these numbers, if you know what you're looking for, anything over a 200 is bad, and that's the number of. Is that parts per million?
I forget exactly what the numbers are, but it's something like that. It's counts of things.
Yeah.
The density of the bad particles.
Up to 50 is considered healthy. You get up around 100, kids and people with asthma and folks like that start having trouble. Over 200, everybody starts having trouble. The readings this morning, just before we came to the radio station, were in the 700s. It was bad. We looked at these. Right now, the sensors, it's real time, which is really cool. You don't have to wait and only get a reading once a day, which gives you just such a tiny data slice that it's hard to build trends. But with this, every 80 seconds.
It's basically near real time.
Yeah.
Go to purpleair.com and click on the green button over on the top left of the page. Well, it's kind of in the middle of my screen, but I have a tiny tablet screen. And view map, and then it'll actually has global locations, but you can easily zoom in on that and come right into your local area. If you're listening out of area, then I'm sure there's probably some sensors where you are, so it doesn't really matter where you are.
And they talk about the sensors. They use a dual laser inside to
figure out what the density of the particles are.
Yeah. Sort of like your smoke detector.
It would be similar.
Your light-type smoke detector. And you can actually buy these things. They use a fan to draw air, pass a laser. The reflections from the particles give you the count. And you can actually get one of these things and add to the network for under $250. So several schools in our area have actually done that.
And in fact, schools have been closed.
Kids
are sent home because of the poor air quality.
Yeah, the schools are buying these so that they don't have to wait for the health department to call them up and say,
they have protocols.
You have a problem.
Yeah, that says when it reaches this and stays that way for a certain amount of time, and it doesn't look like it's going to get much better, then they make a decision.
Yeah. So
If you're one of these people who now you can get these weather stations too. Wonderground has a if you're a weather nut like several friends of ours are, you can actually buy weather stations that
will connect
to the internet and add to the aggregate data. And I'm wondering, I'm sure that somebody is harvesting up this data as weather data and getting more accurate information to build into models and stuff. Or is it just too random?
Because it's not, there's no way to know if the stations are calibrated or anything. You can't do climatological studies and things like that on it. But like you said, it gives an overview of what's going on across an area.
Well, when I look at Wonderground, there's like 20 stations in a near radius here. If I see one that's way out of...
Right, then you know that something's wrong with that.
It's like the traditional method of taking an average. You take the highest number and lowest number, throw those out, and average the rest.
The computer models that we use in the industry do not rely on these kinds of inputs, at least not yet.
But this may help. It would be interesting to see how well these things track what the computer says is going to happen.
Right. They're very useful for verification. They get in ballpark. So, you know,
so literally
besides that, people love the weather. So
purpleair.com. And like I said, you want to join that party, you can do so for about $250 and a spare connection. So all of this Internet of Things, we talk to our computers. We have live microphones in the house. We get our news via technology. The government, and this both, this on a certain level, this bothers me badly. The Senate, the vice chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee says that technology needs to be regulated.
All technology?
Well, Senator Mark Warner made remarks during and after the testimony of Facebook's chief operating officer Sheryl Sandberg and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey regarding their failure to prevent state-sponsored interference to the 2016 presidential election and their planned countermeasures. The senator said the era of the Wild West in social media is coming to an end. So the government wants to decide who can say what.
That's not going to go over real well because, you know, we have this little thing in the United States called the First Amendment. And you can't. This is a form of. This has great potential to be a form of censorship.
Right. Quote from the senator: "There's a healthy. That's a healthy debate. We have First Amendment rights in our country. Thank you for noticing. But you can't scream fire in a crowded theater. The oldest argument in the world. So I think even the most zealous advocates of free speech would realize there has to be some guardrails so you don't scream fire. You don't." Put up a sign that says, quote, go kill your neighbor if he or she is a particular race. Well, of course, that's a community standard.
Right.
Do we absolutely have to codify this into a law?
That's the question. So that's essentially legislating morals is one way to look at that as well, which is never very successful.
He said that companies need to act, but the government also has a responsibility. But what about the users? What if you get enough users who say, and I've seen this before, enough users, the common folk, say, wait a minute, this is bull.
Yeah.
And they turn around and companies that, for instance, 1 in 4 Americans have deleted Facebook. Why? They lost faith in the company. Congress didn't have to pass a law. They got caught with their hands in the cookie jar.
Yep. Well, that's the thing, is that how did social media take off in the first place? It's because people actually used it.
Right.
And they take advantage of it. And why are teenagers leaving Facebook and going over to Instagram or Twitter or something like that? Because that's what they're going to use. The legislating something like that doesn't make a lot of sense if that's their intent. Let, if you will, customer demand or what have you, govern that. And so, you know, what are they really trying to do is what I'm wondering with all of that.
He is
not
pitching.
To be paranoid. I'm not paranoid. It's just like, what are you trying
do
to accomplish?
Do we want Chinese-style
right,
guardians of our messages overseeing everything that goes out on the Internet?
Well, we probably already have that to some extent, but...
The trouble is, a lot of these gentlemen in Congress, didn't grow up with this technology.
Some of them probably don't really fathom how it works or how important it is or to people or how much business, how much commerce is done over the web. There are a lot of governmental functions that are done over the web.
Right.
I mean, if I want to initiate any kind of personnel action, that's all done over the web. As a supervisor, that's the kind of stuff. So there's a ton of government business that gets done via these things. So now what? So what element of controlling the web or what have you are they talking about? Or social media are they talking about? So I don't know. I'd like more information, actually, mm-hmm. to see what it is that they think needs to be fixed, if you will. And some of this is education, too, when we talk about guarding your personal information and things like spam mail and that sort of thing. A lot of it is public education and knowing what's going on, how it works, what kind of information mm-hmm. you give out, or whether you even want to deal with Facebook or whatever.
Now, it is significant, of course, that Senator Warner is a Democrat. This is a real interesting comment. We're aiming at trying to educate the public that this is, one, an ongoing problem, that, two, it's not a witch hunt or fake news. This is a real foreign country trying to intervene in our most basic democratic progress with the goal to try to win in the past to help Mr. Trump. There it is right there. Bang. It's all Trump's fault. But on a going forward basis, it's to sow division. So
wait,
are we not doing
this foreign country? That's out of context.
And,
I don't understand.
This is a real foreign. In other words, he wouldn't say Russians outright.
Right, but the whole comment's kind of out of context.
Yeah. So if you want to look, we're going to put this up.
So they're saying it needs to be regulated because of the alleged Russian hacking.
Correct.
And all this kind of stuff, so we must prevent these things.
And people like Alex Jones cannot be allowed to say their crazy stuff.
So you regulate the public. You censor what gets posted by the public.
Mm-hmm. That's a dangerous downslope.
Well, that will go all the way to the Supreme Court, for one thing.
Right.
But and there are other ways, of course, to work on hacking, because that is, you run anti-hacking, if you will. You know, the criminals, it's just like criminals. They think get clever and they think of ways, and then you have to either counter that or find a way to prevent it from happening again or in the first place. And so it's just cybersecurity is just another security thing. Tough, hard, yes, absolutely. But, I just pretty much figure anything that's on the web, which is pretty much everything that you have, there's a ton of things that are on the web that is not secure. And yet you're forced to do some things online. Yeah. You have no choice.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy.
Yeah, there was a gentleman in here, Joe Rodola, who, of course, helps people out with their credit scores and stuff like that, and he was commenting about how diligent the credit card companies are. Every transaction that you go through affects your credit score.
Yep.
And they're real good at catching those. Okay, if they're really, really good, why the hell do they have such crappy IT departments?
Why did Equifax have such
a
big...
third of Americans.
Because it's all in what you focus on and what you spend money on. These hacking things, undoubtedly, in my mind anyway, this problem can be solved if you put enough time and effort and people into it to make a difference. But it's not deemed to be a priority or a good investment, a good fiscal investment. And I'm reminded of the first time that I got fraud about 14 years ago, where the companies that had the fraud perpetrated against them, they kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, that's the cost of doing business. Well, when the credit card companies in particular started charging the merchants for letting this fraud happen, well, then that became a whole different story. All of a sudden, security tightened up on your use of credit cards, and now it's relaxed again where, what, anything under 50 bucks you don't even have to sign
right,
for type
right.
of thing?
So
depends on the
death
company.
Death of a thousand cuts.
Yeah, it's going the other way, but because if there's $50 worth of fraud, then it's not worth the, you know, it costs too much to chase that down, so you just let it happen.
So watch your credit bill. If you start seeing a lot of 25, 39, 45 charges and the where you charge it doesn't make any sense.
Even pennies. If you're talking 11 cents and you don't recognize that, it's like, who would put 11 cents on their credit card anyway?
Yeah. Get suspicious if you start seeing a pattern.
Yep. And they may only hit you once. And then they get in and get out, and that's it. And if you imagine that, 11 cents times 1,000 people, you know, starts to add up.
Watch office space, trust me. Hey, I don't know if you heard the story about the homeless guy who a couple created a GoFundMe site.
Oh, yes.
His name was Johnny Bobbitt Jr. No jokes, please. The GoFundMe has promised the homeless veteran that he will get the rest of the $400,000 in donations that's owed to him. The couple who raised the money allegedly spent cash on luxury goods and holidays. The story became a national story when the gentleman gave $20 to a woman who had run out of gas to pay it forward. They started the online fundraiser. The homeless man sued the couple, alleging he only got about $75,000 out of the total. He claimed the couple spent the rest on items such as a BMW and luxury getaways to California, Florida, Las Vegas, and the Grand Canyon. Couple denies the allegations. GoFundMe says he will get all the money that was raised, and they are investigating to see if there was, in fact, any misuse. Along those lines, the article in the local paper that the fraud connected with our fire here, the false claims and the scam artists who come in and say, look, you're going to have to wait X number of years before you can get your house redone. I can get the ball rolling and give me $1,000 up front. And then you never see them again.
Well, anyone that falls for that is...
Well, but people...
You know, desperation does maybe make for some bad choice, but that's not a good choice.
But our elder population, especially,
right. Too trusting.
Came from an age when a handshake was
right.
your bond.
Right,
so, just...
Not that way anymore.
Be aware. Let's see here. We're almost up to the... Here's a real quick one. If you're finally thinking about now, my next TV is going to be a 4K. We looked at 4K TVs 2 years ago when we bought a new big screen. But they weren't quite right. In fact, I told a friend of mine who had bought a 4K, take it back and get the 1080 because there's no content yet, especially
right.
the way he had his hooked up. That he was just wasting money. He'd be better off to get a higher-end 1080 TV than the low-end 4K that he had bought. And I said, besides, they're going to get a lot better very, very quickly. And so it was.
And a lot cheaper.
And so it was. So if you get the chance, there are some sweet deals out there on large flat screens. Target is selling a 50-inch... Smart TV from Element. I would probably not buy one of these. A $300 50-inch flat screen. You get what
buy
you pay for.
Buy the extended warranty.
Yeah.
if they
now
even
the
have
65-inch
one.
LG.
Huh.
I would certainly consider.
Right for that's $800.
That's about $800.
That's a good buy.
Mm-hmm. If you really want to go big or go home. You can get a 75-incher from Sony priced at $3,000, which is a lot of TV for the price, or an 85-incher Sony with the Dolby Atmos soundbar for about $5,200. That's some high-end home theater.
Yeah, if you wait 4 or 5 years, though, those will come down to about $1,500.
Yeah. Well, the argument can be made, you just keep waiting forever and everything will keep getting cheaper, but you'll never have anything.
Maybe that's a good thing. It is easier on the pocketbook.
Boomer Tech Radio, back with more tech news you can use after the bottom of the hour break.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to ReadingDuckyDerby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. There we are. Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. I'm still Bob Belongi.
That's good. Because if that had changed in the last 30 minutes, I would be very concerned.
I like to remind myself sometimes. Ah, yes. Of course, the stories that we cover here on Boomer Tech, we put up on our Flipboard magazine. And, of course, if you have the Flipboard app, which is a news aggregator, a little liberal for my taste, but it does have good tech stuff. Of course, the Silicon Valley companies tend to be highly liberalized, but we don't let that bother us. We take their information and make the best use of it that we can. The app, Flipboard, you can put it on your tablet or your Android device, your phone. I think there's a Windows app, but it kind of sucks. But you can subscribe to different topics, and then it will pull these articles from different sources and serve them up on your own personalized magazine feed.
One-stop shopping of a sort.
And one such magazine feed is Boomer Tech Radio Magazine. So just get the app, subscribe. I don't know how many subscribers we have. Last time I looked, we had about 40 or 50 regular subscribers who see when we put new articles up. And here's an interesting one.
There's been a lot of views, but followers, there's only 56.
Oh, well, that's
I'm not
more
worried
than we
by
had.
That.
Yeah,
says
yeah.
Some people just come and take
yeah,
a look.
Yeah, some people check it out and
it's pretty obvious people, because all the page flipping in there that we do is we don't account for this number, so that's a good thing.
Hmm. Interesting article in Windows Central, and this is something that I have found myself doing on my MacBook Pro, is I'll be working on something, and I'll reach up to tap the screen or swipe the screen. And Apple's in Tim Cook, and before him Steve Jobs, said, well, that's not the way we want people to work, because if you're on a regular computer and you're reaching up for the screen all the time, your arms are going to get tired. Well, that's a lame excuse, but they want everybody to use an iPad or the phone.
Right.
But if you're on a keyboard, apparently, you're supposed to stay on the keyboard. And then people so much wanted touch devices that they came up with the touch bar, which was a stupid solution because you have to take your eyes off of the screen.
Abject failure.
And they insist on using it. Why not? Apparently, the feeling is if they had a touch screen interface on Mac OS, then that would pull down their iPad sales. And I don't think so. Because Windows, the Windows Surface works quite well. Sometimes you touch a screen, sometimes you use the mouse, sometimes you use the keyboard. But Apple wants to, originally Jobs said, well, we're not going to have a stylus because styli are stupid. I've got the Apple Pencil sitting here hanging off the top of my iPad.
Well,
it's a drawing tool. It's not a stylus.
Don't let Apple do your thinking for you.
Well, they want to do your thinking for you.
Well, of course they do, because then it's like, oh, my gosh, this is the only way to go. So,
but touch screens are integral. In fact, you see little kids
They're everywhere.
Already in the habit of touch and swipe.
There's so many things that are touch screens. And to the, credit card device at the grocery store, to vending machines, to computer screens, to everything.
Yeah.
Lots of touch screens.
Yeah, we see them in kiosks all the time. Yeah, yeah. Apple still wants to have their their Macs and MacBooks and iMacs still strictly keyboard and mouse operated machines.
So think about this. A company, especially in tech, where things move very rapidly, if they fail to adapt or meet consumer wishes, consumer demand for something, they will die. Consider IBM, for instance. IBM
meet customer expectations.
Right. IBM was considered too big to fail, and while they still exist, they are much smaller than their original.
They're out of the PC business.
Yeah, they're out of the PC business and a few other things. And, you know, people thought that would never happen, and part of it was that they didn't adapt quickly enough. And maybe that wasn't their focus, so they said, forget it. You know, it's not worth it to us. But Apple is trying to do what? Herd you into a market that maybe people don't want? If people don't want your stuff, they aren't going to buy it.
Yeah.
It's too easy to go online or go to a store and play with new stuff and see what's going on. That's what happened to us when we went from iPhones over to Samsung Galaxies. Is when we actually got our hands on the Samsung Galaxy, we said, ooh, nice, we like this, and made the switch.
That having been said, there are things about the Samsung Galaxy that become increasingly irritating. The Bixby voice assistant that nobody I know uses, and the insistence that they're going to keep trying to shove Bixby down your throat to the point of dedicating a button that's placed in such a way that you can't help but hit it. Click here to use your Samsung account. I've got 50 accounts I'm tracking already. I don't need, want, or desire a Samsung account. And you can't turn the darn notification
right.
off.
You can't get rid of it. I just ignore it.
You can't uninstall it. Do they think that being forced...
Beat over the head with it?
Yeah. That is a negative customer experience.
Yes, they need to learn that. But maybe that on the new update that I just installed today that it no longer brings up the Samsung Wi-Fi calling or something like that. That was another pestering one.
I saw that on your phone today, though, when I answered a call. It says, click here to turn on
That's
Wi-Fi calling.
Because that was before I did the update.
Oh, okay. But we see things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, of course, the Iron Man movies with the three-dimensional holographic in-air displays, which have become practically ubiquitous in the movies.
Or how about the device illustrated in the – we just watched the movie Black Panther, where you just hold your hand out and it comes up with this little hologram of the person that's calling.
Yeah, which is actually made of nanoparticles.
Right, nanoparticles, yeah. So, I mean, no, there's a cool idea.
Exactly.
I don't know how that would ever be made to work, but it's a cool idea. That would be good.
Yeah. We're actually kind of rewatching. Now, we broke the sequence because we saw that Black Panther was on Netflix, and we missed it in the theaters because we were busy doing life things, I guess. But we're actually going through, including the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, watching the Marvel movie series, which, when you do that, gosh, all these dots sort of start connecting. I know, get a life, right?
Well, we watch it piecemeal. I mean, we're not exactly binge-watching. Well, we're binge-watching in that we're doing it in a serial manner, but we're not binge-watching, like, seeing three Marvel movies in a day. That would be really blowing the day. That'd be about 6 hours of viewing. I don't quite have that kind of time.
Yeah, so sooner or later, I'm thinking that Apple is going to throw in the towel and bring touch to their clamshell computers.
They'll have to succumb to an industry standard
now,
and an expectation on the part of their consumers.
A computer system that only operates on touch and motion is, as you discovered, extremely tiring.
Yeah, your arms being held up or what have you, gesturing is a bit exhausting. Because the time that I was messing around with that at the Consumer Electronics Show, the recognition capability of the systems was, you know, probably archaic by today's standards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you had to make fairly large gestures. You couldn't just, you know, tweak your little finger or something like that and have it respond. But, that's not terribly practical, although touch screens and a desktop or something like that.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's mid-air stuff.
Yeah.
But if you listen or watch that, then there's a lot of voice command with that as well.
So you could, that's what I'm thinking. And of course, the HoloLens, which is similar to a Google Glass, it's putting an augmented reality in front of you. So a voice interface along with gestures for specific things that don't translate well into voice.
Right.
Now we're starting to think about different ways of interacting with our computers to the point where at some point we'll look at the mouse and keyboard and go, how quaint.
Oh, I'm sure.
Star Trek reference, quaint.
Yes. That's definitely it. But maybe even more so than that, maybe we're going to go more Borg than we think, speaking of Star Trek.
Oh, yes. So they find great graphics for some of these stories. CNBC has that famous picture of Captain Picard in his Locutus of Borg.
Yeah, Locutus.
You know, Patrick Stewart,
yes.
All in that makeup. I guess the makeup was really awful.
I imagine it would
that
be.
That deathly pallor and then all the things glued to him and then the frickin' laser beam on his head. Now, a couple of years ago, Brenda sat down in a chair at CES, and they put a thing on her arm that was reading brainwave state. And the thing was...
Something neurological.
Yeah, something neurological.
Or nerve whatever.
And by concentrating on the screen, you were able to maneuver a little dolphin, and the idea was to keep the dolphin from surfacing.
Right, exactly. And boy, I'll tell you, a moment's inattention, and by golly, it would wander off. But if you focused on it and kept it going, now how did they figure that out? I mean, I don't know how that works, but it was very real, and I don't think that it was one of these things where it's kind of a scam, you know, where the guy in the background's watching, and so, you know, manipulative is what I mean. It seemed to actually respond to that sort of thing, which really amazed me.
Now, I had to check the date on this to make sure it wasn't an April story. Elon Musk has says he's about to announce a Neuralink product that connects your brain to computers. Now, this has been science fiction stuff
for
a long, long time.
Definitely.
He says Neuralink increases the data rate between the brain and computers and will give humans a better shot at competing with AI. And the third bullet point is, Musk made these comments before he smoked weed and drank on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Oh, my goodness. So is this a real story?
Oh, my goodness. I think we'll have something interesting to announce in a few months that's better than anyone thinks is possible. The Tesla CEO said on Joe Rogan Experience, best case scenario, we effectively merge with AI.
You will be assimilated.
Yes, resistance.
Resistance is futile.
Exactly.
Musk argued that since we're already practically attached to our phones, we're pretty much cyborgs already. We're just not as smart as we could be because the data link between the information we can get from our phones to our brains isn't as fast as it could be. It is faster for some people than others.
Yeah, exactly. I'm laughing because we are kind of connected to our smartphones, which we call phones, and that's probably only, 15% of what we do with them?
So I have to think that maybe old Elon took a couple of hits before the show here because it says it will enable anyone who wants to have superhuman cognition, anyone who wants.
I don't think so. That's, you know, no matter what, how would you nearly interface with your computer? I have a hard time with that. Not only that, how is this going to happen? Are you going to wear a cap? Are they going to put electrodes in your brain?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being a bit sarcastic and cynical here, but...
Because this probably... Doc's helmet and Back to the Future, remember?
All the stuff off of it. You know, we are making fun of this and somewhat skeptical, but I do believe that in the long run that there will be some possibilities for that sort of thing. So if this were true, for instance, let's say a person is a mute, they cannot speak, but they can think words or whatever, and imagine where they could have a screen that had that in there, or not even a screen, a voice synthesizer, So they think it, and the voice synthesizer says it for them. I mean, this kind of thing could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would work, and it's probably not in my lifetime. But then again, I don't know. There's a lot of things I wouldn't have thought that happened in my lifetime that have happened in my lifetime.
Exactly. Now, there's a show. Now, up front, this show is not for everyone. This is not a kid's show called Altered Carbon.
Oh, yes. Definitely not a kid's show.
It is violent. It has a lot of...
Very adult themes.
Adult themes, a pretty fair amount of nudity. But the underlying theme is that at some point in the future, we develop the technology to create what are called stacks. And your stack, actually, all your thoughts and memories and all of that go into the stack, and if your body dies, they can move the stack into a new body.
Right.
People who are stupidly rich actually become, in effect, immortal.
Right.
And it talks about the hubris that such people gain from that ability to never have to fear death. And the whole upshot of the show is that we become no longer human.
Right.
When we do not have to fear our mortality.
Right.
Great show.
Very interesting concepts from the human experience perspective.
Hard to watch in a couple of spots. It is pretty violent. In a couple of places, the stuff gets so confusing.
Right. If you stick it out, though, it all kind of comes together.
Yeah.
Why don't we call our smartphones more homage to Star Trek communicators?
Yeah.
Because really, when you think about it, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Either you're receiving news, which is being communicated to you, you're texting someone, you're communicating with them, you use it as a phone, you're communicating with someone. So it's my pocket communicator. Mm-hmm. And it can even tell you, you can set, you know, apps will tell you things like, take your pills or something like that, or, whatever. Apps do lots of things mm-hmm. that can give you reminders and such like, or give you information. I think I'm going to call mine my communicator now.
Now, there we go. Interesting product here. Now, I'm not sure how close this is to actually coming to retail. This is a company called Yanko Design. The header on it is one USB drive to rule them all. And this is an interesting product. It's a it looks like an oversized USB drive with a circular screen on it. You can actually, according to this article, you ever picked up one of 200 thumb drives you've got laying around and you go, what's on this one?
Yeah, there's that,
because you never labeled it?
Well, it's quick enough
you collect
to
these
stick
things.
Them
it's
in
like
the computer.
Sticks of gum.
That's, yeah, why the
well,
I like the colors.
Do
I
not
have colored ones.
Ever pick up a USB drive and stick it in a computer that you want to keep, because there's been a thing where people have put malware on these stick drives and left them laying in a restaurant.
Well, yeah, that I'm not talking about that. If it's one that you've had control
yeah,
of,
yeah.
that you know is yours, you just don't remember what's on it. But anyway, how's this going to be solved?
Of course, this is typical Chinese marketing hyperbole. Gone are the days when you have to be so frustratingly delicate with your digital devices designed to be touched and shaken. This twist on the USB disk provides modern innovations that make file access quicker, safer, and easier than ever.
Someone's marketing department wrote that.
Oh, man. Only slightly larger than a traditional USB, the one-step drive features an OLED touch-sensitive screen that performs a variety of tasks without being plugged in. Users can scroll through and view or access the contents without first plugging it into a computer. You give it a shake, a slideshow of photos or documents comes up. It will lock or unlock with an integrated fingerprint scanner. And then, after all that, then you can plug it into your computer or printer and choose to save, upload, or print directly from the drive. Yes. So I don't know what this thing is going to cost, but
yeah,
essentially it's a data key that fits. It looks to be, according to the picture here I'm looking at, a couple inches across. Well, that would be kind
of
cool, depending on the storage.
About the size of a 50-cent piece.
Right.
If you even have seen one of those lately.
Now,
a little bit bigger than that, maybe.
I have, on a belt pouch, a 128-gig USB 3 drive that I've been using for a couple of years now. And that's what I store all my shows on. When I come in and when I complete the show, I'm going to make a copy of it. I just put it on the drive and stick it in my pocket. And then I take it home with me. which is very, very handy. So,
yep.
But these things are getting a lot cheaper. Speaking of things that come to us with a lot of love from the People's Republic of China, the number one paid utility in the App Store, which was called Adware Doctor, an anti-malware app, was actually stealing your browser history and sending it off to a server in China.
Nice.
Apple has since pulled the Adware Doctor from the Mac store. It was secretly logging your browser history. A security researcher notified Apple of this some time ago. The malware remained available in the App Store. It appeared to be quite legitimate. It was the company's fourth highest top paid software programs, right behind Final Cut Pro, Magnet, and Logic Pro X. The app cost $5, had validity signed by Apple. Now, the whole thing that Apple pushes is if you buy a piece of software from the, an app from the App Store, by golly, it's safe. You don't have to worry about, you know, those nasty malware things.
How many times has this proven not true?
Yeah.
Here's an example where Apple is not infallible in that. That's always been one of the criticisms of the iOS versus the Android operating system versus the iOS system, the Apple's operating system, is that, well, because Android's, you know, open, it's more subject to, you know, being manipulated, et cetera, whereas Apple vets theirs and so on and so forth, right? So there we go. There's an example of where nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah. Adware Doctor promotes his app as preventing malware and malicious files when, in fact, a researcher got suspicious, did a dive into the app, discovered it creates a password-protected archive called history.zip, which it then uploads that file to a server which appears to be based in China. Password was hard-coded. You looked at the zip file. It had browser history from Chrome, Firefox, and Safari.
Yeah, and did it have password history? You know, when you type in a password, say, to your bank account and online banking, was it gathering that information as well, I wonder? Apparently not,
yeah.
But who's to say it couldn't happen?
The app logs the apps that you have downloaded and their source. As of the time of the article, the server collecting the data is offline, possibly because people started looking for it. The whole idea there is that you have to be a little bit, even from the most trusted of sources,
right.
As
you
Apple wishes
have
to be
careful. Not that you would necessarily be able to spot the problem with that.
Yeah.
Till somebody says that.
It's getting tougher and tougher. These people are insidiously good. You have to try to stay a step ahead of them. Listen to shows like this and subscribe to different podcasts. Because by the time it hits the mainstream media, of course,
there's usually a problem.
It is far
your data's probably been compromised.
Yeah. So, and again, don't be paranoid. Be prudent. Don't think you're being safe by putting three different virus programs on your computer.
That kind of defeats the operating efficiency.
A friend of ours did that, and he essentially broke his computer because it had too many antivirus programs and helper programs and all that, and they just bugger everything up. If you're running Windows 10, you've got a pretty robust system, and if you use the Windows 10 malware Defender, you're probably doing pretty good. Besides, it's more often things like phishing attacks and things like that than malware coming in through an app or visiting a web page or something like that. And that takes damage that most virus scanners aren't going to find. Boomer Tech Radio, that's the end of this hour. We'll be back with more tech news you can use right after this. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is,
You rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Val Dior. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has received a letter from President Trump from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Ben Thomas reports.
I know that a letter is being delivered to me, a personal letter from Kim Jong-un to me.
That's President Trump speaking to reporters on Air Force One Friday.
It's actually an elegant way. It's the way it used to be.
The State Department says that letter is now in the hands of the Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo had planned to visit North Korea for more talks last week, but the president called it off, citing insufficient progress by North Korea toward denuclearization. Since then, however, the two leaders have exchanged positive public statements about one another.
He said, "I have respect for Trump. I have respect for President Trump."
As for this latest communication,
and I think it's going to be a positive letter.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
As tempers flare in Dallas and across the nation, Dallas's Police Chief Renee Hall, who is black, cautions the media to let her department do their job. And they've also invited the Texas Rangers to independently investigate. Chief Hall says the state agency asked the Dallas DA to hold off on manslaughter charges against the female officer until they know all the facts.
The Texas Rangers had an opportunity to interview the officer. Based on that interview, they asked us to hold off on the warrant until they had an opportunity to investigate some of the information that was provided during that interview.
She says there are still so many questions and not enough answers. The vigil was held last night for 26-year-old Botham Jean, shot in his own apartment after the officer, who was just off work, tried to enter what she thought was her apartment and then shot Jean, who later died. Flight delays and flood advisories all across the southeast as forecasters say Tropical Storm Florence will likely strengthen into a hurricane today. The National Hurricane Center says Florence will then rapidly intensify Sunday to a major hurricane by Tuesday, make its way up the East Coast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
The owner of a Florida-based supplier of tactical gear has been indicted.
Ben Lounsbury Jr. is accused of passing off inferior body armor to a government agency. Lounsbury made an initial appearance yesterday in federal court in Alexandria on charges including conspiracy to defraud the government and wire fraud. Lounsbury is the owner of Tactical Products Group in Boynton Beach, Florida.
That is correspondent Rhonda Rockstra reporting. Former Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman, who served under President George W. Bush, has passed away. Bush said in a statement that he and former Lady Laura Bush, former First Lady, that is, Laura Bush, were saddened by Bodman's death, adding that Sam had a brilliant mind, and we are fortunate that he put his intellect to work for our country as Secretary of Energy. He was 79 years old, from El Paso, Texas, trained as a chemical engineer. He was president of Fidelity Investments before he later chaired an energy advisory board at the University of Texas. Breaking news and analysis can be found at townhall.com. A man suffered minor injuries when a woman holding a foot-long knife chased passers-by through a northern England town center.
The South Yorkshire Police Department said a woman was in custody after the incident in Barnsley, 150 miles north of London. The force says counter-terrorism detectives are supporting the investigation as police seek a motive. Witnesses say a woman in a headscarf chased pedestrians around the area and shouted threats to kill while market traders were setting up for the day. Trader Abdul Razak says he followed her to the town train station and identified her to police. He said she still had the knife and said, "Kill, kill, kill." The woman was arrested and police say they recovered a kitchen knife. Saria Shakili, London.
Iraqi security forces deploying in the center of Basra after hundreds of protesters torched government buildings and set fire to the Iranian consulate. Dozens of gun-mounted black pickup trucks belonging to the Interior Ministry deployed Saturday afternoon. More at townhall.com.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of this show. My name is Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news you can use. If it's got a chip, we're going to talk about it. And, of course, how all this stuff impacts our lives. Brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. 530-244-4423. Speaking of things telephone, coming soon to a telephone pole near you and just about any other vertical object, 5G. Now, we've got 4G, which is the backbone of our phones and mobile devices right now. 4G, LTE, long-term evolution. Of course, the G is for generation. You still see some 1G signals, but it's pretty rare.
I think
they've completely done away with the last of the edge system.
I believe so. There's certainly no analog system.
Right, analog is all gone. So 5G, fifth generation. Now, depending on who you ask, it was either 15 years down the road or happening next week.
I figure it'll happen about the time I get the phone paid off.
Communicator
paid off.
Yeah, about 3 years is my guess when we start to see wide rollout. In fact, the initial specs on the as-yet rumored Galaxy S10, now mind you, the S9 just came out, the Note 9, I should say. The S10 and Note 10 series are still very much in R&D, but it's rumored that they will be equipped to get on 5G networks. And this is a complex thing. Hardware standards are still being set. And this is even a bigger shift than 4G, than 3G to 4G was.
Oh, undoubtedly. If what we're hearing is true.
Yeah. Things changed dramatically when high-speed data came around. 5G is an agreed-upon set of standards defined by the International Telecommunication Union. And the 3GPP, it's an outfit that works together with the hardware companies, and they define exactly what the network is. And there's a lot of competition because companies put forth various proposed standards, and the ones whose standards are actually adopted as being official, well, they're going to make a pile of money licensing the technology.
what we're probably going to see is FIRST Networks coming out sometime next year. It has to be faster. We're talking about very small wave, in other words, very high frequencies, shorter range, but they will be able to go through walls and buildings. So the whole idea of lower power, shorter range, things like that means that these things will be more dense. And the equipment, now instead of having a big tower with all these giganto antennas on it, we may see something roughly the size of a backpack perched up on the side of a telephone pole, which is kind of exciting. And there's technologies that are talking about using the power lines themselves as data backbones. Now, there's worries about interference because of that. But
right. So the International Telecommunications Union and 3GPP, working together on this, 3GPP is a third-generation partnership project, which is basically an initiative that arose out of a need for companies to collaborate together. And so the 3GPP, the third-generation partnership project, is collaboration between groups of telecommunications standards associations. And so that's a reference to, you know, people who are setting the standards. And as I understand, this article that we're referring to, posted on the Boomer Tech Flipboard page, is that those standards have yet to be established is part of the problem and why 5G is not around the corner.
Right. This is all very new stuff. So.
Right.
But once these standards are established, these manufacturers are going to be able to start. There's several,
right.
It's fairly sure it's going to be a particular set of Qualcomm hardware, based hardware. So you'll see this thing evolve very, very quickly. AT&T has announced certain markets in which, now, of course, the big major markets get this upgraded service first, and then smaller markets follow not far behind it. Look at the speed with which 3G gave way to 4G in our area. It was pretty fast.
Yeah, reasonably. But 3G was around as a legacy system for quite a while.
Verizon looks like they will have the edge in some areas if they don't happen to step on their feet in the process. They'll be the first 5G service to launch. Now, whether this is a true 5G, quote-unquote, or some kind of hybrid, like AT&T had a fifth-generation system that wasn't really, that remains to be seen.
So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. So apparently there are some standards that are already in place, but there's a little bit, from reading this article, I gather there's a little bit of wait and see how things are going, or the plans that these companies are making for their devices are, I don't know, what are they, based partly on speculation or something like that?
Now, some of these companies are looking at using dual-band technologies. In other words, your request up to the server goes in the voice goes on the 600 megahertz band, which is pretty low frequency as such things go. But stuff coming back to your phone comes down on the much faster 28 gigahertz millimeter wave frequencies. That's really short bandwidth.
Right. So that's one of the reasons.
Really short frequencies.
Yeah. One of the reasons they can go through buildings and such like, too, is they're very energetic little varmints.
Yeah. China, Japan, South Korea, all working very fast to beat us to the punch on 5G and have the first viable systems. Now, the whole thing is that we have to have, in order to avoid chaos like the early days of cell phones, we have to have broad functionality. As it is right now, I can take my Verizon phone and I can go to Canada and be reasonably sure that I'm going to be able to get a connection.
Right.
If I get an international SIM card number, the SIM is your subscriber information module, I'm reasonably sure that I'm going to be able to go over to Europe and use my Samsung phone. Now, I may pay some pretty hysterically high fees, but there are companies that actually offer you packages for so many minutes of data and talk time. so that you're not just roaming on a far distant network, because that still adds up really fast. There was a big thing in San Diego years ago where people in San Diego, their phones would hook up to a cell tower in Mexico.
Oh.
And they wouldn't realize it.
And so they would get international charges.
They would get these hysterically high international phone bills, like in the thousands, because they were using their phone and it had switched.
What?
And you had to set your phone so it would not find these towers. And these towers would sometimes not be identifiable.
So. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yep. Now, Qualcomm is a big, important part of the 5G puzzle. They provide the chipsets for most of the market. The company is working on what's called the Snapdragon X50 modem for 5G. Companies like Nokia, Sony, Xiaomi, Vive, HTC, Asus, Sharp, Fujitsu, and a few others are looking to buy these boards. Apple, of course, will wait until they figure out what everybody else is doing. Intel has a competing modem, which is, of course, a little radio that talks and sends and receives the data. But it's going to be another – I don't think we'll have a VHS beta type thing going on, but there'll be a lot of scrambling to make sure that the particular systems are the ones that get to the top. Eventually, it'll – you know, consumers will have the good, clear choice. I would not jump on any – don't be an early adopter on this stuff. Let the dust settle a little bit before you commit to some hardware that isn't sustainable. So, coming soon to a telephone near you.
5G, yep.
Yeah, 5G. Well, I wanted to see that story. There it is. We have different versions of the Flipboard app. She has the Google or the Android version. I, of course, have the iMac version.
Of course.
Or the iPad version.
Yes, because you're on your iPad.
And they present the information a little separately. Now, we've talked about this earlier. Thieves have hit another Bay Area Apple store. The fifth one in less than 2 weeks' time. They got about $50,000 worth of display products in less than 30 seconds. This particular store was robbed four times. Police in Burlingame say four thieves raided the store at about 1:25 a.m. They came in, grabbed all the phones off the displays, all the computers, break the security cords, and run out. The teens or young men stole about $50,000. They ran out to a getaway car, believed to be a Volvo S70. The suspects' faces were covered by their cinched-up hoodies. The same thieves are responsible, allegedly, for all five raids. They released surveillance tapes that police have in hopes of identifying who these people are. Display devices are off or automatically rendered useless as soon as they leave the store Wi-Fi.
Yeah, right. So that's the thing I don't get. What are they doing with it?
Well, it's possible.
They take the hardware rehab it somehow?
Hey, man, you want to buy an iPhone cheap? On the corner,
Yeah, it's the con job type thing.
And then you go and you take it and find out it's a piece of stolen goods. Or there's a big market in parts.
That's what I'm saying.
Because if you send the, it's like having your car stolen and it goes to a stripping. What do they call that? Where they tear the cars down in for their parts and
dismantle.
Well, there's a slang term for it. But anyway,
whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting though that these thieves obviously know that things are bricked when they go out the door, so they must have some other purpose in stealing them. And it, like you said, appears to be the same group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's they're getting their kicks out of it, but it doesn't take them long. They just grab it and go.
Yeah. And if you're under the California laws now, of course, presuming that they catch these guys, most of them will face, if it's just theft out the door, then won't do any time. And in the meantime, they could make several thousand dollars for 30 seconds work.
Yep. I'm sure that they're making a ton of money off that, no matter what they're doing with them.
Here's a neat story. A little picture a small boat drifting across the North Atlantic until it reaches the coast of Ireland. No big deal, right? The interesting part of this story is that this boat did not have a sailor on board. It was the first unmanned sailboat to cross the Atlantic. The SB Met, built by a Norwegian company Offshore Sensing, reached the finish line of the Microtransit Challenge for robotic boats on August 26th, 2.5 months after setting off from Newfoundland, according to preliminary data. It's a milestone that shows the technology for unmanned boats is good enough now to carry out extended missions that can cut the cost for ocean research. Because right now, of course, if you want to have a sensor platform or a surveillance boat offshore, you got to have a crew. What do you got to do with the crew? You got to feed them.
Yep. And you got to insure them, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. It's interesting. I never particularly gave that thought. We talk about autonomous cars, but this is actually a move in the direction for autonomous marine vessels. And, you know, ferries, I can think of ferry sail on Puget Sound would be candidates for this. But there's a lot of trains that are somewhat robotic as well. They go to the stops there's no train conductor on board. They're either somewhere else or it's an automatic system. Boats, though, I would think that'd be a little tougher because what do you do when the rogue wave comes along and that sort of thing? Then that isn't to say that having a manned boat there would be a better opportunity to avoid that sort of thing.
Well, the thing is, for research, if you have these things out there and you do get the rogue wave, now instead of losing a crew, you've gathered data.
Yeah, you've gathered data and you have these little itty-bitty boats floating around out there.
There's a bunch of other players. U.S. startup Saildrone is building a fleet of 7-meter-long unmanned surface vehicles. They can spend up to a year gathering ocean data. Liquid Robotics is a Boeing company that makes something called the Wave Glider. It's a research platform that uses waves rather than wind power for...
Yeah, similar to the up-and-down motion of power-generating buoys.
Yep. Now, the International Maritime Organization is kind of reviewing this because just as the FAA or international aviation laws try to keep things in the sky from going bang, they want to track this increasing number of things floating along from point A to point B. Hmm. If you've never seen the movie All Is Lost, you can understand why this is an important thing.
Yep.
In that movie, an errant cargo container ruins the gentleman's whole day.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
But you can send these sail buoys into, and unlike a buoy which just goes there and hangs out, you can move this thing around. Now, for surveillance purposes, this has really got something going. Could one of these things deliver, say, a military payload? Who's to say?
Yeah. Well, as we always say, technology can be used for the greater good or even for some vile purposes as well.
Yep.
Vile harm. So it's kind of interesting some boats had a few problems dealing with current and tide and that kind of thing. It wasn't doing so well, but it's very interesting. They had a competition is how this all kind of happened. So they're looking at other things so that they can, do the autonomous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Set the boat afloat with some cargo, and it goes to its destination.
Yeah, no, that's kind of cool. It's like the message in a bottle, only you can direct where the bottle ends up.
Well, the other's that, right?
Yeah. The cost of one of these sail buoys is about $175,000, which sounds expensive, but that's about what it costs to rent a research vessel for a few days, and then you got to feed the crew and maintain the boat. And
Whereas if you have a robotic thing, it can perform a function repetitively, consistently, the same way every time, which is good for science too. It takes out biases, or it introduces a known bias, possibly depending on what they're doing.
Yep.
So there could be more efficient that way. And some of the costs of these, you could use more than one. And compare notes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Now, most weeks I have my son Alan contact me via Skype. And what we have to do when he does that, since it's not live, I actually have to record him on another application. But a lot of people have been wishing for a long time that Skype would allow you to record right on from within the app, and Skype has delivered. Now, it doesn't work on Mac OS, but the except Windows 10. Of course, I guess Mac OS it will work. Skype has a built-in call recorder to record a call in Skype. Click the plus symbol and then select start recording. A banner will let everyone on the call know that it is being recorded. You can do so in just audio or in video, although that eats up, of course, a lot more of your drive space.
Not to mention, kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of years ago, and remember we talked about it on this show, remember Samsung brought out the Mega Tablet?
Oh, yeah.
The 18-inch beast that nobody actually bought because you had to carry the thing around by a handle and set it down. And, of course, it didn't have much of a battery life on it. The View 2 is gearing up for release. The original View had an 18.5-inch screen sold for $600. There's a listing that there's a company that they have to go through to get certified for Bluetooth, and somebody picked this up. The original came with 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of internal storage, and an integrated kickstand. When it first launched, it ran Lollipop, which is a version of Android, and again cost $600, and it sat on store shelves. We actually thought about one because we were thinking about putting one on our boat, but the trouble is these things are obsolete out so fast.
Right. Yeah, it didn't seem to have any capability to upgrade, so you buy this hardware, and then, you know, what good is it? Because your software can't run it, your apps are outdated, or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. New words in your dictionary?
Oh, tech-related words, I assume.
Yes, tech-related. Bingeable, meaning a program that is worth watching in sequence all in one sitting. Biohacking, that's, of course, hobbying into genetic manipulation, or even biohacking as the people who put the implant, the Borg implants on themselves.
Yep.
Like the guy who put the chip in the arm so he could open the doors in his office. Well, we chip pets, why not ourselves, right?
Well, yeah, there's that, right?
FinTech, which is a financial technology, that is now a word in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Pretty cool.
Pretty interesting coming up with new words.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first time, of course.
Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago, in our last hour, more than 1 in 4 Americans have deleted Facebook.
That's amazing.
This is an article in the Washington Post, a Pew survey. The Pew survey found this. 3/4 of American users have changed how they use the social media, and 1 in 4 actually quit using it entirely.
Wow.
3/4 of Facebook users have taken one of the following actions: change their privacy settings, taken a break from the app, or taken it off altogether.
Wow.
Now I hang on to Messenger because some people insist on contacting me through Messenger. And they'll send a message. Well, did you see the message I sent you? No. Well, I sent it through Facebook Messenger.
That's because I probably wasn't looking.
But you can't get rid of the account like getting rid of your Facebook account. So I have Facebook Messenger on my pad. But interesting. That it shows how far they have fallen in people's estimations.
Yep. Well, Facebook's always driven me nuts a little bit because when they make their changes, there's this kind of arrogance that it has.
We've improved your user experience.
But it's like, yeah, right, you know, and they were changing it like every 6 weeks, it felt like. And you had to learn something new. It's like, good grief, don't use us as your beta testing.
Yeah, yeah, they would bring this stuff up, and a feature that you really liked would cease to exist, and then there'd be so you'd have to go completely in a different direction
right.
to change something. Facebook, of course, is downplaying all this, saying surveys are a good barometer of how people are feeling. At the end of the day, it's really hard to let go completely. If you take a break, you feel like you missed something. Not so much. Now, maybe to people who've grown up with social media, but I think I think that enough people are going to feel the backlash. Now, there's always going to be the cool factor. You know, Facebook is no longer cool because a lot of adults are using it.
God forbid young people, you know. Ooh, my parents are using that. I can't use that.
Well, we're Tech Radio with one more segment after this. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
ACNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. One more segment of Boomer Tech Radio ahead. More tech news you could use. By the way, the catchy little theme song that you're listening to is called 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by a guy named George Wood. He lives in merry old England, writes jingles, or at least he used to. We got permission to use the music for this podcast. Got it at the PodSafe Music Network. So it is, of course, used by permission for this broadcast. For the break, we were talking about Facebook users and how 1 in 4 has just stopped using it altogether. 3/4 of Facebook users have made some change to the way they interact with the social network. But in the same survey, apparently, a lot of users say, and I'm certainly among this group, they don't understand how the news feed works. Why does the stuff that appears on your news feed, how does it get there? By what logic
is Facebook
the system
using,
deciding what you are going to look at?
Okay, so by
and
news,
Brenda has
by news feed we mean these postings by your friends, right? Isn't that what they mean by the news feed?
Right.
See, I don't even know that
the
when you say news
main
feed
feature.
Yeah,
the first thing you look at when you bring up Facebook.
Right. I mean, you can go in and check each of your friends out individually, and then these are the people that you follow that get into your news feed, but they won't necessarily post everything. I know, it's very frustrating. And some stuff that shows up on my news feed doesn't seem to show up on the individual's website. Facebook page, excuse me. Might as well be a website, the way Facebook treats it. I cruise through. There's really a handful of folks that I follow. The rest of it's just kind of a distraction, where there's they post ads in their suggested posts, which of course you can regurgitate and post to your
matter
timeline.
Of fact, I can tell you what I looked up the other day by pulling up my Facebook feed, because I'll look for products and things like
that. Come up. Yep.
So I'm pulling up my Facebook feed. First thing up is sadly enough, a picture from Whiskeytown Lake from 4 years ago. Which, of course, Whiskeytown Lake doesn't look like that
anymore.
But
it will again.
The third post on my Facebook feed right now, sponsored Amazon.com, home plugs, or a brand similar. Now, what a home plug is a Wi-Fi connected outlet that you can turn on and off either with a voice app or your app.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What else is turning up on my customized Facebook feed? Pegboard tool organizer, smart switch, which I looked those up the other day.
Don't recall looking, figuring out. Oh, thermostats. I looked up thermostats the other day.
Mm-hmm, and you'll see ads.
And I see ads now on my Facebook feed for thermostats.
So this irritates
I looked this up on Amazon.
This irritates the dickens out of me. So Amazon is just as much to blame. How come there's crossfeed?
Oh, yeah.
Why does Facebook know what you looked up on Amazon? Why does Gmail know what you looked up on Amazon? Or any other, you know, Gmail knows because if you're using Google, okay, so there's a connection there, and that makes sense to me. I can understand that crossfeed. But why does whatever you're searching on Google and Amazon show up in Facebook? Something's wrong with that.
Now, it's merely a coincidence here that Kingston Technology USB flash drives are showing up in my news feed. Because this episode hasn't hit the air yet, and I was talking about USB drives in the last. That's purely coincidence. Either that, or these guys are really, really good.
One has to believe that that's coincidence.
Oh man,
that's who knows? And then there's the story that back to the beginning of last hour where you were talking, Bob, about government regulation because of this misunderstanding and how these things, the FCC chairman says social media like Twitter, Facebook, Google need a transparency law. Here we are, you know, saying you have to have law for this in order for people to understand or, you know, so that
in order to have a fair democracy, we have to tell you what to think.
Well, no.
What you can read.
I don't think it's that. It's that consumers really don't know what's going on, hence my comment about why it is what I look up on Google, on Amazon, on Google, show up on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
What's the connection here?
Next day.
This is why you have to assume whatever you're doing is pretty much out there. And it's automatic. I don't think anybody's looking at this. They, you know, the government, maybe they do have flags on pressure cookers like they did before or something. But really? And I don't know if the thing about this, though, with the FCC is that if the public knows how it works, is that really going to change their behavior, or what does that do? I mean, definitely I'd like to know maybe how that connection is made, because we're not really in control of our information.
That's the big thing, and the EU is tackling this, of course. Now, there's a little concern that some of these proposed laws from the European Union that they want to try to copy over here are actually going to stifle
commerce and creativity,
and things like that, because it's essentially going to empower lawyers. We have patent trolls over here. What if we start having idea trolls who want to sue when you use, say, under these European rules, if strictly interpreted, you posted your favorite sport team logo. Let's say the 49ers are in the playoffs, and you posted their logo on your Facebook feed. Totally. Under these European rules, you could be fined.
Right, because that's a copyrighted.
Correct.
Or a trademark.
It does away with so-called fair use.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the more, I don't know, I guess I'd have to call it a little bit ludicrous consequences of this. But at the same time, there should be some balance about understanding where your information is going and what's happening with it. It would be nice to know more about how they work. And this really is, it's not like do they have to divulge trade secrets for this? I don't think so.
Yeah.
They just need to give people the concept of how it works. I wouldn't expect, I couldn't follow the tech part of it anyway, the technical part of it. So it's crazy, but you can still vote with your stylus, if you will. Vote with your finger.
Yep.
Vote with your touchscreen, and just not use those services at all, in which case, you know.
Now, I'm a big fan of buy local, but a lot of the products I buy, simply you couldn't find them locally here in Northern California. And it's
Electronic parts and things like that. You're not going to find that locally here.
Yeah, there's nobody who stocks this, lot of this stuff.
Forced to, you know, dealing with industry powerhouses like B&H and such like. But even so. So speaking of Google searches ending up on your Facebook, I never knew what URL stood for until this article. Uniform Resource Locators is what URL stands for. Everybody knows what it means. It's the address that you know. What's the URL for that, you know, or what have you. You know, Google's done pretty well with things like autofill and such like with URLs. There's encryption, you know, the HTTPS thing, which it probably doesn't come from Google, but nevertheless, being able to, you know, purchase something in a secure website, which, you know, you hope it's secure. This is why you use, you know, use credit card that's not linked directly to your checking account type of thing. But anyway, Google's considering a major redesign of URLs. So Chrome's next big idea is to kill off the URL, actually. Yeah.
Here's a perfect example. Straightforward enough would be whitehouse.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but what do a lot of people type in out of pure instinct?
Whitehouse.com. Or com, yeah.
And whitehouse.com was cleverly purchased
as a porn site. Oh, my goodness.
And it took years before, because if you own a website, you can put any price tag you want on it, and they can't force you to sell it for less than your asking price.
Well, one of the problems that folks are saying is that URLs have become very weird, nonsensical, very long strings, numbers and letters and things like that. I think part of that is the programming to get you to a specific site.
Yeah, well, page. Yeah.
Right. There's a whole bunch of information in there. Or even to update that page automatically and that sort of thing. So what Google says is that current URLs are hard to read. And it's hard to know, you know, whether one is legit or something like that.
But that's easier to read than the strings of numbers, because the URL doesn't take you to the site. When you put in the URL, the Uniform Resource Locator, it goes to a computer that says, okay, if I type in whitehouse.gov, I go to this internet address, 1994.1226.1333, you know, something. Actually, they're three-digit numbers.
Right.
Six groups of three-digit numbers to reach any site on the web.
So right now, Google doesn't have anything concrete to present as an alternative to URLs. But they have a think tank, I guess, kind of is the way I'd put it, in the company that's working on that. But it's still going to be a while. It's probably going to be a year at least before some of these concepts come to light. And I'm sure that they will come up with concepts and then test sort of things. But it's interesting. You know, there's really no hints in this article as to what that might look like, how you would change things.
Mm-hmm.
And shorter things and to the point. But still, for all the bazillions and bazillions of websites and different pages on websites that come out, how on earth could you shorten that?
Exactly.
So it'd have to look like something completely different, probably.
Right. Now, when you search for something on the web,
is my guess,
the odds are 90% of all searches go through Google. Google is a verb. I'll just Google
that's
that.
That's true.
Microsoft hates that idea because they want you to Bing it.
Of course. Oh, Bing. Ugh. I don't know why Bing bothers me. Is it because I'm used to Google? But in using Bing, because it's forced on me at the company computer, not that I don't have Chrome on the company computer, which they don't want you to, but the IT people recognize that Chrome has its value, so they don't take it off your computer. It's very strange. Well, it's not authorized, but we won't pull it off.
Yeah.
It's sort of a two-faced thing. But when I use Bing, it just seems like the searches are just not as on point as they are in Google.
Well, and another thing that I've noticed, of course, the default browser, Edge. Now, here's a good one. We just ran into this, where a local government site, in order to download the PDF form was required, it would say,
use Internet Explorer.
Use Internet Explorer only.
Right.
It wouldn't work on Chrome,
wouldn't
work
on
Safari, would not work on Edge. And Internet Explorer
is ancient.
Is not even supported anymore.
Right. It's phased out.
Like, so this agency has to get with the program because, as it turned out, Brenda had access to an older computer that still had IE on it and was able to download the form. But this is when you set something up so it's nice and secure, and then the technology moves on, and you don't.
And you don't. This is what I'm talking about with Apple in their first hour where they won't do touchscreens. They better get with it. It's not that they don't have touchscreens, of course, but they're not putting it on some of their more popular products, and more and more and more are so. And I'm sure everyone who has a tablet has reached up to their laptop that does not have touchscreen and touched the laptop screen. And then you wonder why it doesn't work. You wondered why that doesn't work.
Doesn't help that my MacBook Pro and my iPad have the same size screen. In fact, I have a way of linking them side by side, which would make it even more confusing. This article in the New York Times, though, real interesting. Importance of Google search has grown. A minor tweak to the algorithm can redirect huge amounts of web traffic, and a lot of people don't understand how Google delivers those search results. Now, you see the ad paid results at the top of your stack.
Right, I just packed my
What about
those.
The stuff that ends up right below that?
Well, if it, a lot of times, though, you see an ad-supported or whatever site, it's exactly the same as the one you're looking for. I always bypass those ad ones.
So let's say you search health benefits of kale as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Google's computer system starts sifting through their index of hundreds of billions of pages that use that wording or related phrase. According to Google, there's 53 million pages that have those words in them, and it finds them in seconds.
It's amazing.
Yeah, pretty fast. Then Google puts those pages into a stack using their secret algorithm, their secret sauce. They consider their search formula a trade secret, so they don't bring through a lot of it. They have different formula. And the article says, well, why don't they reveal the algorithm? It's a trade secret.
Right. Why would a company that's making money on this reveal their trade secrets? And everybody would have it and could do the same thing. And then, you know, there's nothing wrong with proprietorship.
It's their Coca-Cola recipe.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with a company having proprietorship on the actual technology and how something is done. You know, I have no problem with that.
The president has said that Google search results are politically biased. I'm not quite, because of the complexity of a search engine, I think it's possible to have some bias creep in, but I don't think it's to the extent that the president claims that it's happening. Is there bias in the stories that are in the results? Or yes.
Are they written a certain way also to take advantage of Google's methodologies, because some people know.
Yes, optimization
right,
of the search.
Exactly. It's taking advantage of the technology, and that's exactly the perfect phrase, is optimization. So if you write it a certain way, then it gets recognized more readily, perhaps.
Now, the article, a great article in New York Times, by the way. Trump says Google is rigged despite his denials. What do we know about how it works? Look it up on New York Times.
Or the Flipboard page.
Now, you've talked about hidden bias.
Right.
And how even when you're doing your best to avoid it.
Right.
Algorithms are ultimately written by people, and people bring their own view of the world and biases into how they write things.
Right, exactly. I mean, because when you think about it, any programming done by a human in that capacity is going to have that human perspective, really, and into it, building those things. So
And this is going to be the same thing with voice-activated systems. There's going to always be some
misunderstanding.
I mean, we people, when we talk to each other, we have vast, sometimes funny misunderstandings.
Yeah, results with things, right? Or misunderstandings. So you didn't quite hear what was said, and it just makes things funny. Speaking of voice, with that, perhaps Google's headed towards that in their change of URLs. But so far, computers can't recognize tone of voice. They only recognize the actual words used. So if you're being sarcastic or, you know, whatever, it doesn't recognize that. If you're mad, it doesn't know that either. No point in yelling at the phone at the robocall because it can't hear your anger. You know, it won't receive that part. But we're human, so we still react that way. But is voice recognition going to get to that point where it can recognize tonal quality? I'll bet it does.
Yeah.
And recognize when you're being humorous or when you're being disgusted or whether you're, you know, mad or happy or whatever. It'll be interesting when that happens. And then what happens with your interactions with the computer?
Yep. The Utah woman who smashed her Tesla into the back of a stopped fire truck at a red light while using the vehicle's autopilot function has sued the company, saying salespeople told her the car would stop on its own if there was something in front of it. The woman was cited in the collision. Police report says she told police she was looking at her phone before the crash. Car data showed that she did not touch the steering wheel for almost a minute and a half before the crash. Data taken from the car show it picked up speed for a few seconds before hitting the fire truck. The driver then manually hit the brakes a fraction of a second before the impact. Her claim is that they told her it would stop, so therefore it should have stopped.
Okay, if this was a boat, you would be cited for failure to maintain a proper lookout. So this is a case of where the law, she'll win this.
Yeah.
And they'll pay her off because it's cheaper than going to court. But at the same time, this is a case of where law is behind the technology. It's not keeping up with the fact, and this would be obvious to most of us, right?
Now, Tesla says don't rely on the system entirely.
Well, of course.
Now, Tesla's, of course, since their new technology and the news comes out, oh, see, it doesn't work. They're dangerous. Get them off the road. Now, never mind the fact that Musk has apparently completely lost his freaking mind, if you were listening last hour. smoking dope on a podcast talking about linking your brain into a computer. Hello.
Might be pie in the sky stuff, right?
Actually, Tesla stock has just been tanking the last few days.
That's too bad.
Tesla says the cars will detect objects and then slow down. Now, the NTSB has issued findings about separate crashes. A Model S car that crashed and burned and killed two teenagers was traveling at 116 miles an hour 3 seconds before the impact. And then slowed as the airbags were inflated right after the impact. This is new technology. And, you know, people want to rely on it, absolutely. And then when things go wrong, blame the company. But, you know, you got to take a little bit of responsibility here. Now, if you were hanging on to the steering wheel and the car just suddenly veered into the ditch, then I'd say, yeah, but if the automaker says you need to pay attention to what the vehicle is doing, you cannot ignore the vehicle entirely and be looking up stuff on your phone or taking a nap.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
Nope. So,
all right, there we go.
Fun story. The Blue Narrow is a smart aquarium that lets you spy on your fish. See, there's cameras people have in their houses to spy on their pets. We have a friend that has, what is that?
Like a kitty cam.
No.
Oh, he's got his doggy cam.
Yeah, the doggy cam. And he talks to the dog through the speaker in it. And so they claim that this is there are other things out there like the fish bit and the Senai or the Moai. That, you know, these are things you put in your aquarium. But this company, Blue Narrow, says they're the first ones to actually have this all integrated. In case you were wondering what your fish are doing when you're not home. And maybe it'll show up that the cat sits there on the other end of the tank and stares at it. I don't know.
Yes.
My cat's used to
a smart
I had an
fish tank. Now, it won't feed your fish for you. this is a nice-looking tank. Clear plastic, stainless steel.
Yeah, and you can change the color of light that's in there. Fish don't like that.
Yeah. But this has, you have an app for so you can check on your fish, but there's actually a camera in the apparently in the fish tank,
mm-hmm.
and you can see what your fish are up to.
You know, so you've got to have to wonder what this is going to cost, because it probably can't be cheap, but it's a $900 for about 16 gallons and about $1,100 for a 26-gallon tank.
All the time for this week, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe.
Be good to each other.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta.